Well, good morning. You have a seat. My name is Ray. If I haven't met you or had the opportunity to meet you, and man, we're glad that you're here this morning. Before we get started, I want to kind of give you an update. So back in November, we did a thing called SEEK, and basically SEEK is our yearly initiative of kind of saying, hey, this is what we want to accomplish in the year ahead, all right? So this year we said, you know, hey, this is what we hope to accomplish in 2023. And so I just want to kind of give you an update of where we are on that. And like in the past couple weeks and even months, we've had a lot going on. And I just want you to realize and understand that those things have happened because of our SEEK offering, right? And your generosity and different things like that. But I think we can get caught up in all the things that are happening and go, wow, we got a lot happening, but then, oh, why does this happen? Well, it's happening because that's what we said we were gonna do. Okay, does that make sense? All right, and so here's the thing. We've had our Easter egg outreach. We had our Easter service. We've had our D3 discipling leaders meetings that have been gathering. We've also been having our leadership communities that we have every other month. In fact, we have one next Sunday. And so if you serve in any capacity or you're interested in serving in any capacity, we would encourage you to sign up for that lunch. And it'll be on the app that Maddie was talking about. But that is next Sunday after our second service. All right. And so our leadership communities have been gathering. We have a block party coming up on May the 10th, which Maddie mentioned. Again, our partnership with Noble Prentice, the school right here around the corner. Man, here's the thing about that. Understand this, that there are not many schools in the city that would allow a church to come and set up a block party on their property. And they're letting us do it, all right? In fact, they let us do it in the fall, and now they're letting us do it even again. So that means we did a great job last time, and we get to do it again, all right? And so it's a great opportunity for you to serve and be a part of that, and again, get to make some church friends, okay? And so we have that. We have Grief Share has now started on Wednesday nights, and so if you're dealing with grief in any capacity, I would encourage you to be at that group, all right? It's growing each week. Dave and Jenny are leading out on that, and it's been just an awesome time to see that. And then also, we're sending some representatives this coming week to Chicago to the Celebrate Recovery Conference to be equipped in that and to begin and start that in the fall. And so here's the deal. Like, these are things we said we're going to do, and we're doing them, okay? And so, but we wanted to just give you an update on that. And all that happens because, again, because of your generosity. So thank you for that, and just excited to continue to get to do ministry with you, all right? Well, here's the deal. We're jumping into week three of our series called Who Is This Jesus? And we're basically each week answering this question, who is this Jesus? Like, when we talk about Jesus, who is it and who is he? And so we're walking through the book of Mark and we're getting to know him better. And I say walk through the book of Mark. We haven't even made it through the first chapter and we're on week three, okay? But here's what we've seen so far is that Jesus is the Son of God and that Jesus is the one who makes us or molds us, all right? And so here's the thing. This week, the one that we're going to look at is really kind of an answer that will play a big part for us over the next several weeks. Like, it'll kind of build off of this one that we're going to talk about this morning. Because here's, again, a reminder. Mark is writing in such a way to encourage and remind the Gentile believers that Jesus is who he said he was. And he did the things that he said he was going to do, right? And so in that, he wants to kind of build this case in Mark chapter 1 of this is who Jesus is. I'm going to tell you who he is, and then I'm going to tell you all about what he did, all right? And so this morning, the question that we're going to answer, who is this Jesus? He is the one who has authority. All right, he's the one who has authority. Now, here's the thing. We have our kiddos in the room on our fifth Sundays. Our elementary students are in the room just to be a part of this, but also we give our volunteers a break, right? And they enjoy that and love that. But also, here's the thing. Last service, kiddos, I challenged the elementary kids to count how many times we're going to say authority throughout this service. All right? I had five people come up to me after the service, and they had a number. I won't tell you the number because then you might cheat, right? So I want to challenge you to maybe count. And some of you adults are going to be like, I'm going to be keeping track too. Okay? But anyway, here's the thing. We're going to see again this morning that Jesus is the one who has authority. Now, as we step into this, we maybe need to define authority for just a minute. And the thing about authority is, just like many great English words, it has about six different definitions, all right? But there is one definition that kind of encompasses all of the other definitions, and it is this: the power or right to give orders, to make decisions, or to enforce obedience. Now, here's the thing about authority that maybe we need to understand is that authority can be given or authority can be earned. All right, so when we think about authority being given, someone can be hired into a position and therefore the board of directors or whatever, right, has given that particular person or CEO the authority. Or when a prince steps into the role as king, he has now been given authority. You see, so it can be given, but also it can be earned. So a way that we would might see that is like a professor, right? A long-term professor who has earned tenure. They have earned their authority in their role, right? Or we can earn authority by our education. So we go and we get a bachelor's degree, and then from there we get a master's, and then we get a doctorate, right? And we continue to grow our education. We continue to also grow our authority. But that's in a way that it's earned. And so when we look at Jesus' authority this morning, here's the thing. His authority, we need to understand, has both been given, but also earned. It's two parts to how he has gained, if you will, or been gifted his authority, all right? And so this is super important for us as we talk about his authority over us in our lives. And so this morning we're going to start in Mark chapter 1. Verse 21, it'll be up on the screen for you, or you can turn there, or you can use your phone, all that fun stuff. All right, so here we go. Mark chapter 1, verse 21, it says this: then they went into Capernaum, they being Jesus and his newly found disciples. And right away he entered the synagogue, and on the Sabbath began to teach. They were astonished at his teachings, because unlike the scribes, he was teaching them as one having authority. Just then a man with an unclean spirit was in the synagogue, and he cried out, "What do you have to do with us, Jesus Nazarene? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him and said, "Be quiet and come out of him." And the unclean spirit convulsed him, shouted with a loud voice, and came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so they began to argue with one another, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." News about him then spread throughout the entire vicinity of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went into Simon and Andrew's house with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law was lying in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he went in to her, took her by the hand, and raised her up. The fever left her, and she began to serve them. When evening came, after the sun had set, they began bringing him to all those that were sick and those who were demon-possessed. The whole town was assembled at the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases and drove out many demons. But he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. Let's pray before we jump in this morning. Lord, we just pray your word will speak to us. Lord, that your Holy Spirit will reveal truth to us that we see in your word this morning. And Lord, as we talk about authority, Lord, may we be willing and submissive to allow you to have authority in our lives in the same way that you have authority over all things. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we look forward to this time in your word. And we pray all these things in your son's name. Amen. All right, so here's the thing. A popular trend that we have seen recently on social media or on YouTube is this thing called the day in the life. Right? And typically it follows a celebrity or a person around, and we get their whole day, right? We get a full picture, like from the moment they get out of bed and they're like, "Oh, put the camera down," you know, and all that. And then we see them go to their photo shoots and do all their things and whatever. And then all the way to that last moment that they lay down in the bed. That's what Mark is giving us this morning and what we're seeing here in this group of scriptures. We're getting to see a day in the life of Jesus, and we're getting to see a day in the life of Jesus in his ministry there in Capernaum. And so he has kind of set the pace, if you will, and he is giving us a snapshot of what Jesus does on the daily. But here's the thing about this set of scriptures is that it really has one purpose, and it's this. It is to set up for us to see the authority that Jesus has, the authority that he has in his life. And so here Jesus has kind of settled in. He's going to spend some time in Capernaum. In fact, he's going to spend half of his ministry time there and in that area. And so he's kind of begun his ministry, as we saw last week, and he has settled in and made himself comfortable. And so in that, he goes to the synagogue, and there he begins to, we see, he gets to teach. Now, here's the thing. It was not a unique thing for a visiting rabbi to get to come into a synagogue and read the scriptures. It was like a new voice was getting to speak to that particular group of individuals. So that was nothing new and nothing unique. But what was unique was the way that Jesus shared the scripture. And not only how Jesus shared the scripture, but more than likely how he expounded the scripture for the people. Basically how he taught them what the scripture had said, because here's the thing, the scribes and the Pharisees and the religious leaders, man, they had studied and poured themselves into the early books of Scripture, the first five books of the Bible as we know them today, the Torah, right? And so Jesus is now sharing from that, and as he is, the people go, there is something different about the way that he is teaching us. And so the first thing that we see is this, is that Jesus has authority in his teaching. He has authority in his teaching, and Mark shows us that clearly. Verse 22, they were astonished at his teaching, because unlike the scribes, he was teaching them as one having authority. Now, what would that perhaps look like or mean? Well, he taught and shared with insight in a way that was different. He taught with power. He taught with punch. He taught with a call to obedience. He taught in a way that, again, was far different than the religious leaders that were there in that synagogue, and the people took notice. But here's the thing, when we dive into the definition of authority, there's a couple different things of authority that might come into play here. The first is one that has great influence because of a commanding manner. Another definition is this, with confidence resulting from personal experience. But when we go back to the original Greek word that is there, it's this, is that he had competency, capacity, and mastery in his teaching. In other words, it was so far different from the scribes that the people were like, whoa, that's good. But not just good, but I believe that he challenged them. And he challenged them to something different that those had not yet challenged him too. Now here's the thing, again, a reminder, authority can be either earned or it can be given, right? For Jesus, it's both. It has been earned and it also will be given and awarded to him. But here's the thing, for the scribes and the teachers of that time, their authority was earned. In other words, they had studied and poured into and spent all this time learning the scriptures, right? And so that gave them the authority then to discern and share scripture with the individuals that were there in their synagogue. But what does Jesus do? He shows up and has a completely different authority. His authority looked completely different. Because here's the thing, he doesn't lay claim to any past experience. And he's not noting scribes that have taught him what he knows, you see? Because he doesn't have to. Why? Because he is the authority. He is the authority. And so he didn't have to reference any other person. And so from there, why is this important for us today as followers and believers of Jesus? Well, hopefully we're spending some time in his teaching, right? We're spending some time in his word. And so if his word has authority, then what we do is we open our lives to him and we say, okay, you can have authority in my life. In other words, I'm going to allow your words and your teachings to speak into my life. And the things that I do and the things that I say and maybe even the direction that I go, but we're allowing him to speak directly in to our lives. So thank goodness he is one that has authority. And the people react to that. More than likely, because again, he is drawing them to change and challenge. In this short message, in this short little time here, he has drawn them and pulled them and challenged them more than the scribes ever did. Now here, again, the unique thing about Mark. Mark doesn't give us a full picture of what he taught, right? Mark focuses in on the teacher, and he focuses in on the authority that the teacher has, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so here's the thing. When we interact with his word, guess what? We are challenged as well. His word, hopefully, is challenging us through the authority that we offer or allow him to lead with. Now, here's the thing. As he's teaching, we see some reactions, all right? Some reactions to his teaching. The first, the people were amazed, but also there was someone else. There was someone else there in the midst that reacted to his teaching. And so in that, we also see here that not only is there a reaction to his authority in his teaching, but there is a reaction to his authority over evil. Mark displays his authority over evil. And so here we go in verse 23. Just then, a man with an unclean spirit was in their synagogue. Take note of that, was in their synagogue. In other words, he was in a place that he probably normally wasn't. And he cried out, "What do you have to do with us, Jesus Nazarene? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him and said, "Be quiet and come out of him." And the unclean spirit convulsed him, shouted with a loud voice, and came out of him. Look here. One of the most unlikely sources has now just affirmed the authority that Jesus has. In the fear that he has of Jesus, he recognizes who Jesus is, and he knows that Jesus has authority over him. Look, he asks the question, "Have you come to destroy us?" Us being that particular spirit that he's talking to, but also any and other demonic forces. He knows that he has authority over him. So he's worried. "You've come to kill us. You've come to destroy us." He's fearful of what could happen. And ultimately, he's fearful of what Jesus's intentions are. But then, here's the thing. In his very first teaching, the Son of God is going head to head with evil. He's going head to head with this evil spirit. And so here's the thing. He displays authority over him. And we get to see it. We get to see a picture of it. It's not just, "Hey, I have authority over you, too bad." No, he says, "Be quiet and come out of him." And the spirit has no choice. No voice in the matter. He has to come out of the man. Why? Because again, Jesus has authority over him and over his counterparts. He says, "No more. You're done. You're out." He has authority over evil. Now, here's the thing. Our next kind of step, if you will, our next move in the day of the life of Jesus is we get to see another display of his authority. So he has authority over evil, but he also has authority over sickness. Verse 29. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went into Simon and Andrew's house with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law was lying in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he went to her, took her by the hand, and raised her up. The fever left her, and she began to serve them. So with a simple touch, Jesus brings healing to Simon's mother-in-law. He shows compassion on her and raises her right up. But here's the thing, we get to see confirmation in that, because what did she do? She began to serve them. So it wasn't just like, "Oh, I feel a little better." No, it was like, "I feel great. I'm going to serve you and take care of you." She began to go about and do her business. But in the midst of that, what had happened in the synagogue is now gaining reputation in the streets. You see, he's sitting in the house, but now everything that he had accomplished, everything that he had done in the healing of this demon-possessed man is starting to catch word, and people are starting to figure that out. And so what we find and what we see is that people are then brought to him. Word is, he's at Simon's house. Let's take him our people who need to be healed, and let's take him our people who are demon-possessed. And they do, and they bring them to the house. But here's the thing that we get to see. From the smallest of acts of a fever to the largest of acts of a demon-possessed man, he again shows his authority. But here's the thing that Mark shows us. He goes, "Look, this wasn't a one-time deal. This happened all night." He continued to do it. Oh, and by the way, it wasn't four people that saw him do it in the house. It was the whole town saw him and his authority. And so when evening came, they're moving now towards the end of the day of the life of Jesus, right? We're moving towards the end, but it's far from over. Look at verse 32. When evening came, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all those who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole town was assembled at the door. And he had healed many who were sick with various diseases and drove out many demons, but he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. Again, more of the same healings and confirmations that the evil spirits knew who he was, what he was capable of. But how does he respond? He heals and he casts them out. And we get to see his grand authority. You see his grand authority again on display. Now, here's the thing. These are awesome things that Jesus did, right? Like, man, yeah, there's some authority. Like, he has authority in his teaching. He has authority over evil. He has authority over sickness. But what we haven't seen yet, but what we have the opportunity to know of is this, is the greatest display of authority is to come. The greatest display of authority is to come, a display of authority not just over evil, but really over the evil of the world. And not just authority over sickness, but the authority of sickness over the world, the sickness of sin that we experience. And so his greatest display of authority, catch this, is also going to be his greatest display of servanthood and what he's going to accomplish on the cross. What he's about to do in a couple years and what he's about to accomplish. But here's the thing. His authority over the evil one and over the sickness of sin is going to be displayed. And in that, victory comes for us. Victory comes for us through his authority over these things. Paul would say it like this. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Now the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, what he accomplished in his authority gives us victory. And gives us victory over these things. Now here's the thing. Jesus has always had authority. He's always had authority. And he had authority from the very beginning. In the beginning was the Word, John says, right? From the very beginning, he has had authority. But here's the thing. It was when he was obedient to the Father and he died for our sins and our condemnation has been stripped from Satan's hand through the shedding of his blood and he completed his work on the cross and he was then heralded as the Redeemer. That's when he now has earned his authority. You see, it had always been given to him, but this is the moment on the cross that he actually earns his authority. So it had always been given, but it was also earned. And he gave him authority over heaven and earth. He gave him authority over the church. He gave him authority over the mission. He gives him, as Matthew says, authority over all things. And so his authority is not just limited to these three that we've talked about. No, his authority is over all things. So this morning for us, here's what I'd like for us to chew on for a moment. Why would Jesus' authority be important to us as his followers? Let me say that again. Why would Jesus' authority be important to us as his followers? And why would Mark want us to know and his readers to know pretty early in this writing? Remember, because in Mark, what's he doing? The first part of Mark, he is setting the stage for the rest of his writing. He's setting the stage of who this Jesus is. Well, here's the quick answer. Are you ready? Everyone has a source of authority in their lives. Amen. And that source will determine how we think and how we live. Let me say that one more time. Everyone has a source of authority in their lives. And that source will determine how we think and how we live. So here's the thing. When we forfeit our personal authority over to Jesus, he gets to lead. He gets to make decisions. And he even, as hard as it is to say, gets to discipline us. Because he has all authority. He becomes the ultimate authority in our lives. And this filter becomes the leader in our life. And he becomes the leader in our life. And we make him Lord. Now, here's the thing. At its root, authority is really leadership. And so what we do is we offer him authority, but also we offer him leadership in our life. And we hand that over to him and say, this is now yours. My life is now yours. The areas of my life are now yours. And so Mark uses these miracles to show us that. Now, here's the thing. Mark loves the miracles. In fact, he's going to write about 17 different miracles. We're going to get to see them over the next several weeks. 17 miracles. But what is the purpose of these two or three that he shows us right here? It's to establish Jesus' authority. And his authority over our lives and in our lives. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as he says in verse 1, who wants to make and mold us, has the God-given authority to do whatever he pleases. But he has authority in the things he says or the things that have been written. He has authority in those. He has authority over evil. He has authority over sickness. Later we're going to see he has authority over nature and even death. He has all authority. Authority is his. Now, here's the thing. Later in Mark 11, the Pharisees are going to come to him and they're going to ask, hey, you're doing all these things. Who has given you this authority? Where'd you get this authority? And ultimately, what they're trying to do in that moment is they're trying to trap him. They're trying to kind of pin him in a corner. Because here's the thing. If Jesus were to answer that that authority came from man, or really no one has given him that authority, then the Pharisees could easily say, you need to dismiss this man because he has no authority. But if he were to say, no, my authority has been gifted or given to me from God, then they could charge him with blasphemy. But what happens in Mark 11 is Jesus says, I tell you what, I'm going to flip that question on you for just a moment. What about John and his baptism? Where did that come from? Who gave him the authority? But here's what really becomes clear in that moment in Mark chapter 11, is that Jesus operates under a different and a divine authority that sets him apart and differentiates him from any other. He separates and sets him apart from the scribes and the religious leaders. It separates him from the evil one. It separates him from sickness. And it's even going to separate him from death. Because he is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who has all authority. And so this morning, as we apply that perhaps to our hearts and to our lives, and we ask ourselves the question would be this: where are the areas that I have given Jesus authority? Where are the areas that I've given him authority? Or maybe flip it. Where are the areas that I have not given Jesus authority? And you may be like, well, I don't know. Right? We may fumble on our words, and we may be looking for areas and places. But to help you with that, I'd like to give you a few this morning that maybe we can think about or think through. The first one is this, is our faith. What we believe and why. And as we're looking at these, I'd like for you to ask the question of this. Who leads this area of your life? Okay? But also, who is the greatest influence in this area of your life? So first, your faith, what you believe and why. The next one is our work and our rest. So what I mean by that is our work and our work choices, our effort that we put in at work, our resting habits, but then also our entertainment would be our hobbies and our activities, or the things that we take in, right? The things that we download into our minds. The next one would be our money, how we handle our finances and our generosity and even our savings. Here's a fun one, politics, how we view things, but also our own personal values, our identity, who we are and why we answer the way that we do when people ask us what we do or who we are, and then our relationships, our friends, our family, our dating, our marriage, or even our education, our continued learning and our continued wisdom. Because here's the thing about each of these categories and each of these areas. All of us experience them, if not daily, weekly, I can guarantee it. You experience something in one of these categories. And so again, who has the authority in those areas? Who has the influence in those areas? It may be you, it may be an outside source. Guess what the church answer is? The Sunday school answer is Jesus. 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 I forgot how to say his name. Jesus should have and could have full authority in all of those areas. Because here's the thing. Christ, in his earned and given authority, wants to lead in all areas of our life. He wants every part of you. And here's the thing. Jesus isn't sitting around going, gosh, I wish I had some credentials that would give me some authority. No, no. He has great, powerful authority. He has rightful authority to step into and rule and lead. But he gives us a choice. He gives us a choice, and that's the thing that we often struggle with, because here's the thing about our personal authority, is our authority must be granted, submitted, or handed over. And we have to allow him to take on that role in our lives, allow him to speak into it, allow him to lead. We have to ultimately put a self aside, or put ourself aside, and follow him, as he just called his disciples to do in what we saw last week. We have to put ourselves aside and follow him. Because why? Because again, he has full authority. Just to remind us as we kind of wrap up here. His authority is given by God the Father, but earned by his work on the cross. It's given because he is King and Lord. It is earned by his death, his burial, and his resurrection. All authority is his. And so this morning, what is the thing that perhaps we need to hand over to him? It could be as large as your whole life and all eight of those categories. Or it could be as small as the TV shows that you watch. It could be as large as your eternity and your eternal life. And it could be as small as how you handle your checkbook. But he has authority over all. And so what is it this morning that we need to submit to him, that we need to hand over to him and give him full authority in our lives? All right? So the band's going to come back up. And what I'd like for us to do is this. I'm going to pray for us. And after that, you're going to have a moment or a little bit of time there as they're singing through these last two songs. Just to kind of have some one-on-one time with the Lord, right? If you've been around New City for a while, you've heard me say that. But like, it's kind of our last moment here before we get into the craziness of the week. And it doesn't mean that we're not going to encounter Jesus again in our quiet time or a devotion or even worship in our car or anything like that. But this is like our last little moment before the unsettling, if you will, that happens in the week. And you have an opportunity to lay some of these things down before the Lord. And maybe this is an opportunity for you and something that you've had your hands on and you're like, you know what, I'll give the Lord all of these things, but I'm not giving him this. Maybe that's the one thing that's holding you back from him fully using you in full capacity. And so I'd challenge you before you step out this morning to pry your fingers off that thing and to let him have it, all right? Let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you so much. Lord, for all that you do for us. Lord, I'm so thankful that you are the one, the chosen one, who has full authority. Full authority that was given, yes, but also earned. Double stamped, if you will. And so, Lord, in our lives, whatever we might be holding on to or whatever we might not have submitted yet to you, Lord, I pray that in this next few moments, your Holy Spirit make us aware of it. Holy Spirit, bring it to the forefront of our hearts and our minds in a way that this morning we can lay it down before you. And Lord, in this coming week, it may creep up again, but Lord, may it be something that we at least take the step of obedience to hand it over to you. And Lord, may we be a church May we be a church body made of individuals who are willing to give you full authority of our lives in every decision that we make, in every domain, in every area of our life that we encounter. Lord, may we open up our hearts and our lives to you. Because as Mark has shown us this morning, you have authority. You have a grand authority that we will never match. And so, Lord, can we hand that over even today? Lord, I pray that in these next few moments, we are real with you. We're real with ourselves and an opportunity to lay something down today. Lord, I'm so thankful for your work on the cross. Thankful for all that you accomplished and all that you did. Thank you for the fact that through your work there, through your death, through your burial and your resurrection, we then have life. Lord, thankful that you again show your authority over that. Lord, this morning, if we have not yet stepped into a relationship with you, I pray that today be the day. Today be the day that we willingly turn over our hearts and our lives to you and set them before you so that you can be in charge, so that you can lead each of these areas of our life. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you for all that you do in your Son's awesome and powerful name. Amen. A few things before we step out just to remind you of. The first one is this. We have these little Mark notebooks that are available for you. They have scripture on one side and then a notebook on the other. We're going to be going through the whole book of Mark, all right? We're not going to make it like a couple chapters and stop. So this would be a great resource for you to have and to bring in on Sunday mornings, take notes and all those fun things. But you can get one of these at the Welcome Center. The other thing is this. If you have enjoyed like the past 3 weeks and you're like, man, I just want to learn more about the book of Mark. I want to learn more about Jesus. I'm just excited, right? Like fired up. Well, on next Sunday morning at the 9 o'clock hour, we're starting a city group that's walking through even more in depth the book of Mark. And so love for you to join us. You guys are the 11 o'clock folks. So you could come early, go to that, and then come be a part of this service. But man, we'd love to have you in there. All right. So those are some opportunities for you. But in these next few moments, it's up to you whether you want to stand, whether you want to sing, whether you want to stand, whether you want to sing, or whether you want to sit, all those things, all right? That's up to you, and we'll step into this time of worship, all right? Here we go.